Today's passage comes from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. About 3 years ago, almost exactly 3 years ago, in fact, I learned that I was going to be moving. I met with my superintendent, which is in the United Methodist Church, is my direct supervisor, and I was informed that my family and I were going to be moving from the place where we had lived for 7 years to a place called Seymour, Tennessee, to serve a church called Seymour United Methodist Church. This came as a great shock to us. We were not expecting to move. The church was not expecting us to move. And so we spent the better part of a day just sort of stunned. But we woke up the next day and thought, well, if this is going to happen, we better go check this place out. It was only an hour and a half away. So we came down to spy on y'all. We drove down the road and we got off of I-40 at exit 407. And my first thought was, exit 407 is where for years I have gotten off the interstate to go to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Sevierville, and the Smoky Mountains. Can this ever really be the exit that I use to go to my home? We pulled off and we got on to Highway 66, and then we turned on to Boyd's Creek Highway, and then we turned on to Chapman Highway. And that day, I don't remember much else, but Chapman Highway made the greatest impression on us of anything that we saw that day. I've been on busy roads in my life. I've been in a lot of traffic. But there was something about this great highway with all the cars, no turn lane, no way to turn left or to turn on or off. And we went home, and all we could talk about was Chapman Highway and how we would get used to living with this road. Well, here, almost 3 years later, we have grown accustomed to it, and we're on Chapman Highway all the time, and we think very little of it. It takes us where we need to go, to the store, to the church, and other places around town. Roads do that. Roads will take us to the market. Roads will take us to a friend's house. Roads will take us to ordinary places. Sometimes, though, roads will take us to a place that's exciting, a destination that we can't wait to reach, a vacation, a reunion with friends or family. Other times we dread where the road takes us. Sometimes the road takes us to a place that completely changes our life. A family pulls out of a driveway and gets on the road, and from the back seat, the child says, "Mommy, when are we going back home?" And the mother and the father realize that they must now explain, "Darling, we're going to a new home. The road is taking us somewhere new." On the road, we need directions, we need GPS, we look for shortcuts, we say things like, "You can't get there from here." We drive through the night, and we get there. Early in the morning, we're tired, but we got there. The passage that we're reading today from Luke 24 is a great story of an appearance of the risen Lord on the road to Emmaus. This story takes place on the very first Easter day, sometime after the tomb was found empty, and that's the first part of Luke 24. Two disciples are leaving Jerusalem. They're leaving Jerusalem because they're leaving Jesus. They had followed Jesus to Jerusalem, and now they're leaving him in Jerusalem, and they're leaving the movement that they joined up with. They're going back to whatever, and they are on their way to a village called Emmaus, about a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem. And while they're walking, they meet a stranger. Now, Luke tells us that the stranger is Jesus, but the two disciples, Cleopas and the other one's name, whom we're never told, don't recognize Jesus. Their eyes are kept from recognizing him, but they walk with the stranger and they talk with the stranger. And then when they get to the village to where they're going, they invite the stranger to come in with them. And then the stranger sits at the table, and the stranger plays the part of the host, and the stranger takes bread and blesses it and breaks it. And when that happens, their eyes are opened and they recognize Jesus, and then he vanishes from their sight, and they look at each other and they say, "Something was happening, wasn't it, on the road? Something inside us was saying something is happening deep down. Maybe we knew it was him when we were talking to him on the road." And they run back out into the night, and they go back to Jerusalem, and they find the other disciples, and they tell them all about Jesus and how he spoke to them on the road. This story has been lodged in the Christian imagination for 2,000 years. Everything about it is just wonderful and beautiful, but the road itself has become a key feature to this story, almost as if you'd say the road was a character in this story. Every time we talk about this story, we talk about the road. And in two places, in verse 32 and verse 35, the road is explicitly mentioned. After Jesus appears to them, after they recognize him and he vanishes, they say, "Were not our hearts burning while he was talking to us on the road?" And then when they get back to Jerusalem to the other disciples, Luke makes sure to tell us that they share with those disciples what happened on the road. The road is an important part of this story. Roads feature prominently in several well-known Bible stories. There's the Jericho Road, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, where a man was going in one of Jesus' parables and was robbed and beaten and ultimately rescued by a good Samaritan. There's the road to Damascus, the Damascus Road, where Saul was going to arrest Christians. And he was met by Jesus, blinded by the light, and his life was changed. There's the road that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 40. It shows up in the work and the prophecy of John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The whole book of Exodus is about a journey, a trip, a road out of slavery. It takes 40 years to get there. But that whole book is about a journey. In our culture, roads feature prominently in our speech, in our literature, in our songs. And this is nothing new. It goes all the way back to the most ancient literature. When I was in college, I had to take a course on great books twice. I had to take it twice. That's another story for another time. But the first book that we read was this book by Homer, The Odyssey. And Odyssey means journey. And it's the story about this great hero, Odysseus, journeying back home. Not maybe nearly as profound in great literature, but it's plays a big part in our culture. There's the yellow brick road that Dorothy travels with her friends on the way to Oz. There's Route 66, the original cross-country highway. And then there's more songs than I can name that I'm going to attempt to name, although I'm afraid that some of you might protest if I didn't at least mention Willie Nelson's On the Road Again, Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere, Man, 6 days on the road and I'm going to make it home tonight. Musicians spend so much time on the road, then they end up singing about the road, and then some bands like Journey just name their band after the road. And they have that song faithfully. It says, the road is no place to start a family. The road is where we go when we're going to try to reach a destination. But roads also mean that we're leaving something behind. We're going somewhere, but we're leaving something behind. Sometimes we're just leaving it for a little bit. We're going to go back to it. But other times, we're leaving something behind. Sometimes we're fleeing something. Sometimes we're running away from something. Sometimes it's good to get out of Dodge. Other times you're at a party and you really are looking for a good way to leave. And so you wait until there's a pause in the conversation. And you stretch and you say, oh, best be getting on the road. But we're leaving something behind when we get on the road. And these two disciples in this story are leaving something behind. They're leaving behind Jesus. They're leaving behind hope. They had hoped. They had hoped. They say this to the stranger. We had hoped that this one was the one. That he was the one. Notice the past tense. We had hoped. I don't know if you've ever noticed that great place on the World Wide Web for information, sometimes accurate, sometimes not, Wikipedia. But a rather morbid fact about Wikipedia is that it is updated so constantly and so rapidly that when a person of note, a celebrity, dies, the site is updated almost instantly. So where it would say so-and-so is, it's changed so quickly to was. I remember when Kobe Bryant died, a friend of mine, I was with a friend, and he held up his phone, and the headline said that Kobe Bryant had died, and I thought, surely not, and I pulled up my phone, and I went to Wikipedia, and it said Kobe Bryant was. Sure enough, gone from is to was. And these two have left Jerusalem because Jesus has become a was, has become a thing of the past. And so they're leaving it behind. Something else about stories in the Bible about roads, they are very often a place of surprise and of change. So you think about the man who was beaten and robbed on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. How surprised was he that his rescuer was a Samaritan? You think about Saul, so dead set on going and arresting Christians, surprised and blinded by the light, and changed on that journey, changed on the road. One of my favorite stories is in Numbers 22, where Balaam is on the road, and all of a sudden, his donkey starts talking to him. And he has a conversation, and he listens. Look it up, Numbers 22. The road is a place of surprise. If you look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every story about the resurrection seems to have this feature, and that is this, that the risen Lord surprises people. The risen Lord cannot be summoned. The risen Lord cannot be called. You can't just demand that the risen Lord show up. But the risen Lord, time and time again, surprises people. And that's what he does on this road to Emmaus. They left because they think that he has become a was. They think he has become something of the past. And they are surprised. They are delighted. They are overjoyed to find out that he is. He is again. And he will be forever. The word for road in the Greek, hodos, can also be translated way. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the earliest Christians, before they called themselves Christians or called themselves the church, at least according to the book of Acts, they called themselves the way. The way. The journey. This life is a journey. This life is a road. We are always on the way. And Christianity is a way. It is a pilgrimage. This road, this journey, this way, sometimes takes us to ordinary places. Sometimes it takes us to extraordinary places. Sometimes we're just road weary. Sometimes we're fleeing. Sometimes we're running away. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. But the risen Lord surprises us all the way along the journey. We can't force him to show up. We can't predict where he's going to show up. But he has a way of continuing to show up and surprise us in strangers, in the breaking of bread, in the study of Scripture, and in countless other ways. So I want you to go out there, and I want you to tell others about what has happened on the road. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. As we journey on, O God, open our eyes that we might see you. Make yourself known to us, O God, in the breaking of bread, in the Scriptures, in the welcoming of strangers, and in all the other ways that we don't expect or cannot predict. Surprise us and meet us where we are and where we go, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.